19 centuries later, whenever we hear stories from the book of Acts, the first book in the Bible after the Gospels that tell the stories of the actions of the disciples, we hear of an imperfect people trying hard to live out the gospel. To paraphrase Kate Huey, there are stories about different people and places and the things that happened to them. Not just the apostles and their companions, but the many people who are or were this early community called the Way, who worked hard to live out Jesus' message of love, justice, mercy, and peace. Their stories are about a people who started in small home churches and how they reached out to the surrounding cultures and diverse peoples from their earliest days. Their stories tell about the people who kept the faithful going through hard times, faithfully tending the fire of its mission and vision. There are stories about children who came, hungry to hear good news in a hostile and dangerous world. Stories about courageous decisions to stand up for justice, even if the surrounding culture heaped on criticism and sometimes much, much worse. Stories about a steadfast faithfulness to live out one's commitments in every way possible, fighting economic injustice, racism, sexism, classism, ageism, and greed. They would come together to listen to Scripture, to figure out what the good news of Jesus Christ might look like in their everyday lives. From talking about the challenges of life and family or business and work, to praying together for a good health or a good death, they would come together to help one another. Sharing their stories was central to community. So does all of this sound familiar? Yes? They were creating a new thing, a community of faith in Jesus Christ, a place where they could belong, imperfections and all, a new and sacred place where they would stand together. Like Moses, who removed his shoes before the burning bush, this community came to be a sacred thing, a place of signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, which kind of explains how the good news spread so quickly and so far. The stories we hear of these early communities tell us how they responded to the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst. But we need to be realistic, too, because they struggled, and after all, they were human just like us. They struggled with the question of baptism. Who should they baptize? Should they baptize Gentiles? And there is Paul, the planner and worker, the administrator, gathering diverse people together for a conference in Jerusalem to talk about it, to figure out what to do, to make a plan. That sounds familiar, I think. And then there's Peter the mystic, dreaming that God calls all people back through Jesus Christ. Even as Luke tells us they shared all they had, he also tells us of two people, a husband and a wife, who sold some property for the community, but who also held some of their profits back. When confronted by the disciples about their deceit, so the story goes, the couple drops dead, first the husband, and 3 hours later, then the wife, when she too is confronted with their selfish deceit. One can only imagine the stories going around after that couple died in such a fashion. These early communities struggled to be the good news. There were widows in Greece who didn't have enough to eat. And remember, women were very low in stature, and widows even lower. So starvation and isolation was quite common. So the disciples, realizing they couldn't do it all, decided to appoint 7 people to be deacons so that food and care would be given to the needy more reliably, which these 7 deacons did, in addition to preaching and teaching and praying, which got the disciples all upset because that was their job. Creating a community of diverse peoples can be difficult, And this isn't a modern dilemma. We hear so many stories of real human beings struggling, trying to reflect Christ in their language and in their actions. And that's why the first book after the Gospels is called the Book of Acts, the Book of Action. So what about the many stories of the real human beings who have struggled to find a way to reflect Christ in their language and actions here in this place? Yesterday, while doing the spring trim with a group of great volunteers who were here most of the morning and into the early afternoon, I noticed a family of three walking around the grounds and taking pictures. So I walked up and introduced myself, and they began to share their stories of faith. Seems the husband's grandfather was Father Yeomans, the founding priest of St. Michael's, very first acolyte. Their young daughter was baptized by Father Neely, my predecessor. And when I asked her about her baptism, she got all nervous and couldn't do eye contact anymore. And their grandparents are even buried in the memorial garden right outside this wall. As we stood in the sunshine and they shared their stories of place and family and faith, they were the good news of Christ, even these many decades later. Just like the earliest communities and the family I met yesterday, you and I will also be known by our stories. And now for the quote from Kate Huey. Our story, the story of each congregation, doesn't have to say that we were perfect. We already know we aren't. But someday, someone will tell someone else who needs to hear it that we strove mightily to live out the gospel. There will be stories about different people and the things that happened to them. Not just the pastors, but the many people who are and were this church, and who have worked faithfully to live out the gospel message of love, justice, mercy, and peace. The story will be about the people who started the church, like Father Yeoman, the story I heard yesterday, and the way it reached out to the surrounding community from its earliest days. The story will tell about the openness of the church throughout its history, expressed even in the architecture and art and capabilities of this building. Perhaps the story will be about the people who kept the church open through lean years, faithfully tending the fire of its mission and vision until its renewed growth and vigor in a later time. The story will be about the children who came through its doors, hungry to hear good news in a hostile and dangerous world. The story will be about courageous decisions to stand up for justice, even if the surrounding culture heaped on criticism and sometimes much worse, and about a steadfast faithfulness to live out those commitments in every way possible, fighting economic injustice, racism, sexism, classism, ableism, ageism, and greed. Being a Christian means aligning our thoughts and our actions with that of a gracious God. Do your priorities and ministries align with God's will? What stories will people share about your faith one or even 19 centuries from now? Just like the earliest disciples, you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring a radical and hopeful way of being into the world today. We are called to the same response to the Holy Spirit here in the 21st century. Number one, to dwell and explore Scripture just as the disciples did. Number two, to devote ourselves to fellowship with one another, just as the earliest disciples did. Number three, to share in the bread and wine of communion, fed just as the earliest disciples were fed. And number four, to be involved in prayer. Whether we pray for ourselves or for one another, prayer is when we seek to be in conversation with God, just as the earliest disciples did. Who you are in your life, the words you choose, the actions you take, make a difference in the church today, just as the earliest disciples did in the church 19 centuries ago. So what stories will your book of Acts tell? May all God's people say, Amen.